Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. And America might be in the market for some new real estate. At the end of last week, President Trump confirmed reports that the administration is considering acquiring Greenland. Yes, that Greenland. Here's the president speaking to reporters yesterday.
Denmark essentially owns it. We're very good allies with Denmark. We protect Denmark like we protect large portions of the world. So the concept came up, and I said, certainly I'd be strategically, it's interesting, and we'd be interested, but we'll talk to them a little bit. It's not number one on the burner, I can tell you that.
Denmark says, yeah, no. Mette Frederiksen, the prime minister of Denmark, told Danish broadcaster DR that, quote, Greenland will not be sold, end quote. The time where you buy and sell other countries and populations is over. And there's the end of the quote. Sorry about that. But President Trump's director of National Economic Council, Larry Kudlow, he told Fox News' Dana Perino that they're looking into it. He said, you know, hey, the president knows a thing or two about buying real estate. He wants to take a look. Okay, so how would something like that work? Is it even possible in 2019 to buy the world's largest island, coming in at 840,000 square miles? Joining us now for more is Daniel Dresner. He's a professor of international politics at the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. And he wrote about the Greenland purchase for The Washington Post. Professor Dresner, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Okay, Professor, when I first heard about this story last week, I was like, what? What? But this idea came from somewhere. So what is the likely genesis of the idea in 2019 for the U.S. to purchase Greenland?
Honestly, it probably came from the fact that Donald Trump has a very 19th century worldview out there, and this is a very 19th century act. It is certainly true that the United States in its first century, has used money to try to buy and successfully buy large swaths of territory. Think about the Louisiana Purchase in 1803. Think about the Gadsden Purchase in the 1850s. And think about the Purchase of Alaska during the Lincoln administration. But to be honest, we haven't bought territory in more than 100 years. I believe the last time we did it was, interestingly and ironically enough, with Denmark when we got the U.S. Virgin Islands from them in 1917. But essentially, in a post-World War II world, you know, territory isn't bought and sold like that anymore.
Why? So, why, Professor? What has changed post-World War II that this is just an unheard of idea now?
Well, a couple of things. The most obvious being that most territory, when you talk about buying or selling it, involves people living there. And there's a general recognition that those people will not necessarily want to switch or change their nationality. And this would certainly apply to residents of Greenland. And it's applied, obviously, to other citizens as well. So countries are extremely reluctant to part with territory that includes members of their citizenry.
It is understandably so, but I do find myself thinking, I have to believe that whoever lived in Alaska when Alaska was purchased didn't like the idea very much then either, or we're seeing huge uprising in Hong Kong, you know, over what's still an ongoing change in ownership. So that's not really new that the people on the island or the piece of territory wouldn't like it. So what else is different now?
What's new is that there is a recognition or there's a norm that that the preferences of the citizens involved should count. You're correct. It's possible that the residents of Alaska didn't care that they were being sold by Russia to the United States. But since Russia was an autocracy, they didn't particularly care about it. And for the Americans, it was such a small number of people that it didn't really seem to matter. We're now in a world where if you have large popular protests about something, we're going to notice that. And so as a general rule, and the other thing I would add is that the other thing that's shifted in international relations is that generally speaking in international relations, countries do not want to be perceived as being available for sale. And certainly the transfer of territory for money would be an example of that.
Okay, so to that point, Professor, Greenland and Denmark have both said, hey, no way, this is, you know, not for sale, not going to happen. I'm guessing many Americans wouldn't have even known until last week that Greenland is technically under Denmark rule. But that's actually kind of a confusing structure. Can you explain just briefly how Greenland is a part of Denmark?
Greenland, I believe, is what is considered a constituent country within the Kingdom of Denmark, which means, as I understand it, that Greenland has autonomy almost entirely over its domestic affairs. However, they do cede commercial and foreign policy to the Kingdom of Denmark. So it would be up to Denmark to decide whether or not to buy or sell Greenland, and clearly they're not going to sell it.
Okay, here's President Trump again from Atarmac in New Jersey yesterday explaining how such a transaction might work.
Well, a lot of things could be done. I mean, essentially, it's a large real estate deal. A lot of things could be done. It's hurting Denmark very badly because they're losing almost $700 million a year carrying it. So they carry it at a great loss. And strategically for the United States, it would be nice.
So $700 million is off. The president is overstating it. But I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to ask you why you're laughing.
Because it's absurd. Most absurd idea I have heard, you know, in the last week or so, which says something about the Trump administration. I mean, by Trump's logic, we should put Mississippi up for sale because it's a net drain on U.S. resources. Of course, we're not going to do that because we see Mississippi as part of the United States, which is why Denmark is not going to sell Greenland, because they see Greenland as part of Denmark. So as fun as this story is, and don't get me wrong, there's a lot of fun in it. You know, the fact is that what's disturbing is the way in which we are all actually taking this even slightly seriously, because the President of the United States thinks that this might actually happen, and that no one actually apparently within the White House can actually tell the President what you are thinking about is in fantasy land.
And you don't believe anybody in the White House said to him, Mr. President, this is a non-starter. This is never going to happen.
No, if nothing, I mean, you know, based on the reporting that we've seen in the 4 or 5 days since the story came out, you see that White House staffers are perfectly willing to tell reporters that they're not entirely sure if Trump is serious, but that there's been no reporting whatsoever that anyone has told Trump himself that this is not a serious idea. And indeed, the only one willing to go on the record on this has been Larry Kudlow, who likens it to a real estate deal, which just demonstrates the way in which Larry Kudlow is way, way, way out of his lane on this.
Okay, so what is this actually about? One of the things, you fairly pushed back on me saying, lady, you shouldn't even be taking this seriously, but there are some pretty important rare metals and some important strategic positioning that Greenland has. So, A, what is this about? And B, even though this is a non-starter, does this change how Greenland's going to figure into people's awareness of the geopolitical landscape now that this conversation has happened?
You can argue, the most generous interpretation of this is that it has occurred to Donald Trump that Greenland does have strategic value, again, because the Arctic is an area of strategic contestation, particularly with Russia, and that as you have climate change evolving, the Arctic is going to become more and more important as a commercial shipping lane. Furthermore, we already have basing rights and leasing rights to military facilities in Greenland, so we don't need to buy the island in order to be able to have that particular right or ability to use. So in that sense, the idea that Greenland is strategically important is perfectly worth pointing out. What is truly appalling is Trump's equation that something is strategically valuable with the idea that therefore it's a real estate of the deal in which we should somehow acquire the territory. Indeed, it's very much akin to Trump's belief that he articulated during the 2016 campaign that when we invaded Iraq, we should have somehow taken the oil, even though, again, it doesn't work like that.
All right. So what would, if President Trump is interested in taking advantage of what the strategic assets in Greenland are, beyond the base that we have leased there now, what would an appropriate and realistic next step be? And maybe 15 or 20 seconds.
An appropriate or really, realistic next step would be, to point out to U.S. investors the potential value of Greenland and let market forces do their work. There's really not much else the U.S. government needs to do on this.
Okay, and last question. Is there some land mass out there? I understand you've said, listen, for the most part, we're just not doing this anymore. But we have done it before. Is there a land mass out there that the United States should be thinking about gaining ground on through any of a number of strategies that would be important to us strategically right now?
Well, as I said, if you're going to make the arguments that you've been making and Trump's advisors have been making about the value of Greenland, I think we need to think bigger then, which is to say, forget Greenland. Greenland is for small potatoes and haters and losers. We should make a play for Canada, okay? Because all the reasons that Trump has offered for why he likes Greenland apply with even greater force to Canada. if you're concerned about the Arctic, Canada has a lot more presence in the Arctic. If you're concerned about raw materials or energy resources, Canada has an infinite, amount.
All right,
more
I got to stop you there. This has been great. Daniel Dressner, professor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, as we contemplate buying Canada, stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.